San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Well, it seemed like there might have been a lot of smoke and mirrors in terms of who the Sharks would take with their second overall pick. And after the Islanders were done, Michael Mesa comes to San Jose. So in short and in simple, was that kind of just always the basic plan and ideas? Is what happened what you guys all thought might happen today?
Yes and no. I mean, we don't really ever know. I think in terms of our decision on Michael, it's we've made those decisions. We've had our list kind of the way it was. And yeah, we're always fine tuning it. But, you know, we knew relatively early on if, you know, depending on how things went, who the guys we wanted. And, you know, we're absolutely thrilled about Michael. And I think anytime you add a player that has that type of ability, that type of skill, along with the type of person you're adding, he really just fits what we're trying to do here and what Mike has started and we continue to try and do every day. And that's execute, you know, his philosophy and what he wants for the team. And I'm really proud of our group. It was every year is different. Every year is brings new challenges. Every draft is a unique situation and opportunity to kind of do your thing. And our guys responded well, and we're really happy with day one.
You know, you can look at Mesa's stats and every metric possible, which I'm sure you've done, but I was actually equally impressed with the kid, the personality, the maturity. And I know you did all the research and talking to former coaches and current coaches and teammates and everybody else. What can you say, though, about the person that you drafted and how much do you know about Michael Mesa and maybe that side of it that impressed you also?
Yeah, I mean, we know Michael. Trust me, when you've seen him as much as we have as a staff and you've been around him, I mean, like I said, we know these kids more than I know my own kids sometimes by the end of the year, you know, but that's a whole nother conversation. But, you know, I think you meet him and you understand. You got to remember the kid has always played up. He went up from, he played up at 15. He's an exceptional status. And as great as that all is, that comes with a certain amount of pressure and expectations at 15 years old. And, you know, then he gets injured and he breaks. I think he broke his leg or his fibula or like whatever, one of those smaller. He misses half the year. He's got to respond there. Then he plays out of position as a 16-year-old. And what does he do? He helps the team win a Memorial Cup. He develops his D side of his game. You see things like that. And then this year, the expectation, yeah, you're going to be a number one center. And all he does is put up over 100-plus points, 60-plus goals. And so that part of it is you want those, you want to see those boxes checked. And I think winning isn't easy. And learning how to win isn't easy. And when you can bring in winners and bring in guys that have done it and won, have been a part of winning groups and cultures, whether you're a young kid or not, this kid has gone through a lot in his hockey world and he's just turned 18.
You know, so, he said it was his goal to be on the Sharks next season. Now, that's not for you nor I to decide at this moment, but that idea, like that ambition on his part, that aggressiveness, you know, I think a lot of people would be more reserved. He's kind of gone out and said that. That's probably part of that character thing you're talking about.
Yeah, it's also the way, I think it's also the way most kids are a little different now, right? The level of, and in a really great way, the very best players have to have a level of confidence and a level of aura about them that make you believe and make, they believe themselves they can do anything they want to do. And if the kid came in and told us in the combine, yeah, I want to go back to junior, I'm not ready yet, you know, we might form a different opinion because that's just, we want them to say,
right?
There's no right or there's no right answer essentially. So, you know, for us, at least the way we do it as a staff, whether Michael's ready next year or not, it wouldn't impact our decision in terms of where we had him and where we take him. And, you know, Mike says it all the time, I've said it, you know, kids are going to dictate when they're ready. And if you rush them and put them in situations for them to fail and not have success, you could be doing more damage than not. So we're super excited about Michael, and what happens next is going to be up to him. And we're really excited to get him on the ice here on Monday.
We'll get into Josh and the 30th overall pick in just a second. But as you start to prepare for Saturday's round two, I mean, the pace of round one here on Friday night, 4.5 hours for all 32 picks. How do you as a staff readjust and recalibrate for tomorrow and Saturday? If people are watching this on Saturday, it's a much different pace. You have to be ready. You have to be 10 steps ahead?
Yeah, you're ready. I mean, it goes, I don't know how tomorrow will go. I know the 1 year that we did it virtually, it was like a 6-8 hour second day. I think it was way 2020 or 6 hour day. It was really, really long. So, you know, now with this beating up, we have our draft list, our draft thing in place where we are already thinking multiple steps ahead. Whether players fall where they're going to is completely out of our control, but we spend all year trying to put together a plan that if anything happens during a draft, Mike knows exactly kind of in terms of the amateur process, what's next. And that's why you spend 12 months doing it. So when you're in this situation, I never want Mike to feel like he's forced to make a decision really quickly without having all the information on the table. And so part of what I think my responsibility is to make sure that any situation, whether it's moving up, trading back, trading out, not having a pick, we have a plan in place for that.
So here at SAP Center, the crowd had an interesting reaction when Josh was picked, and it has nothing to do with him or anything like that, more so the position of the player, because a lot of people are thinking, all right, it's time to kind of mix in a defenseman here with a lot of the young forwards that have been drafted in recent years.
Yep.
But to go a totally different route and go goaltender, what went behind that in picking Josh?
You know, our goalie, Nabokov and Ryan Miller, they really see a lot in the kid. They believe in the kid. You meet the kid, and then, you know, in terms of, you know, value to an organization, if the kid becomes what we project him to be, there is not a lot more value in that organization. And you need to win. You need goalies to win. You know, in terms of time, I mean, same thing with any kid, but, you know, this kid is a big, raw, athletic kid that we are excited to get our hands on, and they are, you know, Millsy and Nabby are excited to work with and grow. And so for that, it's for us and where he was on our list, he had the highest ceiling left. And when you're in a situation, like Mike said multiple times with, and me personally, in terms of doing this for as long as I have, if you focus too much on need and you focus too much on maybe what everybody else thinks you should take,
right,
and you get away from your process, you end up doing more harm than good. So, we stay consistent, whether it's, you know, wherever we need, we're going to look for the best player available.
Did you know or not know that he's like friends with or kind of tight with Macklin? Did you know that?
Actually, we were just talking about that after like 2 seconds ago, and we were saying how Max sent Mike a text and Max pretty excited. So I didn't know that going in. I wish I'd like to say I did know about Wetch last year and Mac being friends because they talked about it. But
right.
Again, it's the best part. Like, we do this and we talk to these kids and we're taking them for NHL, but to see their smiles and to see how excited they get and to see what it means to them to be a part of something you're working so hard to build up, it's really impressive.
See, I was almost going to ask the question, what if Matt came to you and said, hey, I know this guy, you got to trust me, or you got to give this guy a look. You're the scout, you're the evaluator, but you got to give him a look. I wondered if you would take that to heart, but
I'm sure we would, but that's hard because that's,
yes, of course,
know, if you're,
it there's a higher level than
yeah,
friends.
No,
on
but
the
it,
ice.
But it, I mean, we use anything we can. I mean, we've used former players. We have a lot, like, for example, we have a lot of guys in London. Well, when we're talking about players in London, we talk to Casper, we talk to Sam,
right?
You know, when we're talking to kids, if you don't use, I learned that a long time ago where you have players you've drafted, you spent the time, you know, ask them what they think about their teammates.
Exactly.
And so that part of it's been, you know, to get that. Yeah, we're excited.
There's no better insight than somebody who sees that person every single day from the inside, like a teammate or something like that. Hey, last thing I want to ask you about here. It's been a long day, so I'll cut it off after this. As you evaluate goalies and the decision to take Josh, how do you look at that position? All goaltenders, because it is such a team-oriented position. Like your skaters in front can make you look really good or quite the opposite. So how did you go into evaluating Josh specifically?
You know, I think it's the same thing we do with players. It's you know, those tools, you can, NHL assets, right? Whether it's size, skating, you know, for goalies, it's a different formula in terms of, you know, what's important to our goalie guys in terms of how we evaluate them. And again, it's with Ryan Miller and Evgeny Nabokov, who were both elite goalies in NHL.
Yep.
You know, me personally, as a guy that was never a goal, I was once, and when I went back to university, they shot on me. But other than that, there is, you know, we rely on them and then we put together the other pieces. And again, it's the exciting part is there's so much untapped potential here with Josh in terms of his size and his length and just the pure athleticism this kid has. And again, it's going to take molding and it's going to take work and dedication on his part. But what two better kids to learn from than Ryan Miller and Evgeny Nabokov and come in and then, you know, you have Askarov there as well, which is going to someone that you can look up to. So the whole dynamic and the situation seems like it's a really good fit. And, you know, that goes into not only does he have probably the highest upside left on the board in terms of what he could be if he hits, but he's also got a lot of other things that we're looking for in turn of going into that checklist of why he makes a good Shark.
Well, it's exciting. I'll let you get back to it. Quick turnaround for tomorrow. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much.